Wasting no time, we get to our NHL insider. Morning, Elliot. I know you were talking about it. I heard you at the end of the broadcast on Saturday that this is going to be as much fun as the Edmonton-Pittsburgh game was, and it truly was. It was a terrific battle. I only hope we get about the same or as much entertainment tonight as they did then.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, that was a lot more entertaining than Saturday's game was, for sure. Vancouver just doesn't have the horses to compete with Pittsburgh, and you know, tried to keep it slow, and the Penguins still totally overwhelmed them. So it should be a great game tonight. You're right.
What do you make of, because we were laughing here this morning, it's one of those things now here in Calgary that even the average fans are like, so what, so the Flames are doing really well, hey? Gosh, yeah, they're doing pretty good. So what's been the difference? Well, pretty much everything, you know, the goaltending and all of that. When you watch the Flames, if you were going to tell people or explain to them what's going well, how would you go about doing it?
Well, I think you always have to mention the goaltending. It's so much a part of everything. And with Brian Elliott sort of grabbing the net finally like the Flames had hoped earlier in the year, that makes a huge difference. I just think the other team is you guys are really deep. When everybody's healthy, and that's challenged a bit now, you guys have a lot of talent on that roster. And there's lines that can score. There's lines that can do different things. You got a couple of really good defense pairings. I just think you guys are deeper than most teams when you're healthy. And you look at the, you know, Stone being out will test that a little bit, but you still got a couple of guys who can play, who are out, and Hamilton being healthy enough to play, that's huge. If I guess if that cut had been a little closer, a little deeper, it's probably the season and into next year, and you avoid the worst-case scenario.
He's had a terrific year, has he not, Elliot? I think even here we're kind of surprised.
Best year of his career by a mile. And you know, he just seems calm. You know, after the trade, he's finally settled in. He seems calm. He's playing with Giordano. Game-time decision the other night, who had 3 assists. No question, he's had the best stretch of his entire NHL existence.
We can move off the Flames, I suppose. What's happening with the Washington Capitals? They, man, it looked like they were home and cool. There was no catching them. And Pittsburgh with a win tonight will pass them.
Well, every team gets their slumps, and this is their time. So I don't know how much I panic about it. I thought it was interesting that last night after the game, they had a post-game meeting, and I guess Brooks Orpik had some pretty awkward comments where one of the reporters asked him, you know, what has to happen, and he said basically we have to get our focus back on the game. And they tried to follow up with him, and he said, well, that's all I'm going to say about that. So, you know, those comments will definitely be parsed. You know, what is he talking about there? What is the off-ice stuff they're worried about, and who is he talking about? And plus, you know, Ovechkin's 10 games without scoring. I mean, you never see that in his history. I don't know if it's, you know, the one thing is, it's interesting, and I don't know if this is it, but people did warn about it. You go out, you get Shattenkirk, and all of a sudden John Carlson, you know, loses his power play time. There was one game where they had an empty net, they were down a goal, and they threw Shattenkirk out there, and Carlson wasn't out there. And I'm not saying that, you know, Carlson's a malcontent or anything like that. It's not where I'm going here. But there's no question that going out and getting Shattenkirk, as good as it was, it's taken some people out of their regular roles. You know, Nate Schmidt didn't play, and he's back in the lineup now because Shattenkirk suspended. And, you know, even he, who's like one of the most positive guys around, admitted his disappointment in not getting to play. And I just wonder, did they upset the apple cart a bit? And I know they talked about it internally, and they worried about that very thing. But, you know, I just think that sometimes going out and everybody should be on the same page because you're all going out to win the Stanley Cup. But sometimes people get bent out of shape, and I wonder if that's happened a bit there.
I wonder, too, and this is just, I mean, not that they're scared of the playoffs, but I would think most teams are excited for the playoffs to begin. For the Capitals, it's almost like they take a deep breath. And it's like, okay, we need to be better. We have, you know, I almost wonder if it's kind of hanging there, waiting for them.
You know, I wonder about that, too. I think it's a fair question. I think that team is pretty mature, though. You know, I don't know if it was last night or two nights ago when they lost to L.A., but they asked Justin Williams about their struggles, and he basically said, whatever. And I think that's the kind of attitude you have to have. I think that's a pretty mature team that's been through a lot. You know, sometimes I wonder if we're overthinking it because they've been going so good for so long that you're bound to have a dip. You know, it's just tough, though. I mean, they've been on such a tear, and all of a sudden, Pittsburgh's right on their tail, and Columbus is right there, too. And that first seed in the East is so valuable because you're getting, you know, Toronto or the Islanders or Tampa. Tampa's an interesting one. At least they have some experience at it in the playoffs. You know, I think you want that. You'd much rather finish first than have to deal with Pittsburgh, Columbus, or the Rangers in the first round. So I think that's the sense of urgency that runs into this. But I do look at them and say they're a mature group. They've been through a lot, good and bad, and they should be able to handle this mentally.
Another thing, sorry, Ryan, that I just wanted to throw in quickly. Another one of the things, while Pittsburgh and the Pack catching Washington didn't think we'd see, I didn't think we'd see Ottawa catching and surpassing Montreal. They did that on the weekend. Montreal, with the win yesterday, is back in at the top spot. But we joke sometimes about the Ottawa Senators and, like, who are they?
Yeah.
Man, they're going to be no fun. And they almost smell Cinderella-like to me with what's going on with their goaltender and everything else.
Well, he's had a great year. And I think if he had, you know, played the whole year, and unfortunately he couldn't because he had to go home and help take care of his wife, he'd be in the MVP conversation. Now, he can't be, and I think Carlson's sneaking into it. This MVP vote is only widening. You know, for a long time it's been McDavid and Burns with Crosby kind of on the periphery. Well, Malkin's coming. You know, I think Brad Marchand, now that Boston's kind of righted themselves, is getting into it, and I think Carlson is too. You know, don't look now. He's not far behind Brent Burns. And for defensemen being near the top of the scoring race. And, you know, Ottawa, and I've joked about it a few times this year. Last year they were the most fun team in the league to watch because they didn't guard anybody. They went up and down the ice. They traded chances. It was really fun to watch. Well, they're grinding people now, and they play really consistent. And they're banged up too. You know, Turris, and I don't think Turris gets enough credit for how good he is, but Turris is not playing. Mark Stone, who I think is another really underrated player, is not playing. And they're just grinding their way through. Anderson has been great. Their defense is deep, and it's very good. And, you know, they got a lot of talented forwards, even though they're not scoring a ton. And the one thing about them is they go out every night and they just play about the same game. And I think the hardest thing to find in the NHL is consistency. And at least at this point in time, Ottawa's found it.
We see the Penguins here tonight. Thoughts on a club that, I mean, they're missing all kinds of bodies. Mata, Daly, Letang, Hornquist, yep. Rust, Hagelin now. It doesn't seem to matter, does it?
Well, I think when you got... The thing I like about Crosby is he's such a pro. You know, he brings a certain level every night. I think Malkin is a bit more up and down. But Crosby is... You know what you're getting from him every night. You know, those goalies have been really good. Fleury was the best player on the ice the other night in Edmonton, I thought, in what was a great game, maybe the best game of the year. He was so good, including stopping, you know, McDavid on that breakaway in overtime. I think that has given it to them all year long. I just think the toughest thing is, I just don't know in 4 out of 7 if they don't have Letang. You know, Letang was such a great player last year in the playoffs, and Crosby gets all the headlines, and Kessel gets all the headlines, and the goaltending battle gets all the headlines. But Letang is such an important player for them. And I just don't know if, as good as they are, if they're going to be able to win it if Letang is not healthy. But, boy, you know, I am really excited about your game tonight. You guys are going for 10 in a row, and they're the standard by which everything is set. And, you know, I'll tell you the other thing, too. Washington goes out, and they get Shattenkirk, and everybody's saying, wow, like, that's the team to beat. Pittsburgh's feeling is, let me at them. You know, I can't tell you how much Pittsburgh wants their shot at Washington, because every, you know, I don't think necessarily historical records matter today, but there's something about those two teams when they meet in the playoffs that no matter how good Washington is, Pittsburgh always finds that extra gear. And it happened again last year. And I just think Pittsburgh sits there and says, you know, they can go out and get whoever they want. They've never beaten us when it mattered. And I think Pittsburgh's got that swagger to them, but it's going to be so hard if 58 can't play. I just don't know if they can do it without him.
Just to follow up on Letang, he was supposed to be day-to-day and was for a while. A week later or so, they put him on IR. Do you know what's happening there? Because they've said it's not a concussion, and that's just a confusing time frame.
And they've also said it's not related to the stroke he had once, too. You know, I think when teams hide like this, there's a reason. I don't know what it is, but there's a reason they're not telling us. And that reason is never good. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I don't know what the answer is, Ryan. They're doing a really good job of keeping it quiet. I just think teams for particular reasons.
Mm. Elliot Friedman, our guest here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning.
We are feeling pretty comfortable here with our playoff race, but the LA Kings, they play Edmonton three times. They play us three times, and they end off, am I correct, Pinder, against Anaheim? I mean, are they good enough to win all those games and go on a big run and kind of control what happens out here?
You know, to me, the team with the schedule that really matters here is St. Louis. You know, they had seven games left against Arizona and Colorado. I think they've played two of them, so they still got five. And that's what you're beating here. Now, Nashville has decided to make this a little bit interesting, too, but I don't know if they're going to catch them. You know, I hate to bet against a team with that kind of goaltending. I really do. It's just so stacked against them. They have no margin for error, the Kings. You can't, you know, they had that big win against Washington the other night. They, you know, but you can't, you basically can't lose. If you're them and you know who St. Louis is playing, you cannot afford to drop games or lose games or blow games. And I think that's kind of where they are. They just can't afford to lose because the odds really pile up against
them. They've got the Blues tonight.
I know. It's a must win. They have to win this game. You know, St. Louis, I think, just has a bit more breathing room because of their schedule than the Kings do. You know, the other thing, too, is, Red, is they're so inconsistent. You know, they've got such great high-end talent. And I think, you know, I think the fact that they've struggled so much is basically keeping Carter out of the MVP consideration. But they're a bit top-heavy. You know, they're trying to get Ledoux in the lineup. They're trying to get Forbert in the lineup. They're trying to get Campy in the lineup. And you can tell that, you know, Sutter doesn't really trust them all yet. And he's really going to ride his top guys. And those guys will determine if they get in or not.
Last one for me, and I say that a lot. But yesterday we got another peek at Minnesota versus Chicago. What a series this would be. And those two, without really having done, there's a rivalry there, and I love the story yesterday, and it's almost one of those urban myths. Mm-hmm. Did it happen or not happen? Eric Staal skating by the Hawks bench saying, despite the fact we're going to lose this game, he's like, we're going to see you again, and the Hawks bench gives them the ooh, we're very scared. What a battle this is going to be, and because the Wild have led that division for most of the season, but the Hawks won 3 of 4 against them in the regular season.
Well, I guess Staal is saying that didn't happen, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much of a trash talker Eric Staal is. So, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, I'll say this. Joel Quenneville is going to get no consideration for the Jack Adams. He's had a heck of a year. You know, you look at what he's had to rotate in and out, and you know, we talk about Daryl Sutter not necessarily trusting his kids. Well, Quenneville's been forced to because they're all there. And, you know, I really think that he's done an unreal job acclimating those guys. But, you know, the thing about the Blackhawks is you can never bet against them. Like, there are certain teams, they could be in a series, and I don't care who they're playing against, I would never put money down against them, and Chicago is one of those teams. You know, Minnesota, same as we kind of talked about Washington a bit, you know, a lot of made some additions, and they're still trying to fit them in. Now, Hansel didn't play yesterday because they're sick. He was sick. But if you take a look at what Minnesota's done since those guys all got there, him and White, is they fiddle around with their lines a bit. And, you know, Boudreau's a guy. He'll check it out. And if he doesn't like the way it's going, he'll switch it fast. And sometimes it's hard for guys to get acclimated when you do that. So I still think Minnesota's trying to find the right fit for all of this. But the other thing that happens yesterday, it doesn't happen very much, is Dubnyk just has a bad night and gets pulled really quick. So I think if you're Minnesota, you're looking at it and you're saying that's not going to happen to us too often, so we feel better about it. But I'm not betting against Chicago in any series. I just wouldn't do that.
Well, it's fun out here, as you can imagine. The Oilers have fallen to the wild card. 2 wins in their last 7. The sports radio up there, we understand. Things have puckered a little bit here in the last couple of weeks, and everyone's feeling great down here. What do you see? Anything of concern with the Oilers? Or like you say, is this just one of those things where you play 82 games, you're not going to win them all?
Yeah, everybody goes through slumps. And, you know, like, you guys aren't going to go like this forever. You're not going to win 30 in a row to end the season. You're going to have your swoop too. I mean, it was interesting last night. I was reading Corey Perry's postgame quotes, and he was sitting there and saying, you know, we know what's going on around us. You know, we know Calgary's coming, and, you know, we know that Edmonton's been pretty good. So, you know, we certainly are aware that if we don't win these games, we could drop too. You know, I think it's interesting that, you know, they're doing this kind of without Gibson a bit. So that's pretty fascinating to me with Anaheim. You know, how good are they going to be without their number one guy? You know, I look at Edmonton, and to me, the number one thing is their secondary scoring going to be there? I like Talbot a lot. I think he's had a great year. I like their D. There may not be one stud, but they've got a lot of talent there. You know, they could have the MVP of the league, a great player, but I just look at it and say, who else is going to score there? And last night was a perfect example. They led almost all the way. And Montreal got hot, and they didn't have an answer, and they lost that game. And I think if you're Edmonton, that's the kind of game you look at in the playoffs, and you're saying, who's going to score, aside from the obvious one? And that, to me, is the biggest question. They have to have Everly going. They have to have Lucic going. And if those guys aren't at top of their game when the playoffs start, it's going to be tough for the Oilers, because you know they're going to be saying, we can't let 97 beat us. Someone else is going to have to beat us.
Thank you, Elliot. Great suit Saturday, by the way. Great suit.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, very nice.
Deb Berman is the MVP. She dresses us, so that's my favorite suit. Yeah.
I hope she gets danger pay for getting you dressed. Tough stuff. Thank you, Elliot. We'll catch up Friday.
All right, bud. Take care.